been saved, you say, "Preacher, I just don't feel it." You know, sometimes the spark may have to start with you. And we're supposed to come to the house of God with a spark and a fire ready to throw some pitch and wood on somebody else's fire. And this is Memorial Day weekend. And I've wrestled with this day, this message, probably more than I can remember wrestling with the message. I know we got things we got planned to do and stuff we want to do, things I think is good for us to do. But with this congregation, and we're gathered out here on this day that we have set aside and deemed to be the day that we come worship the Lord, we've got to say something about the Lord. And we've got to say something about what the Lord has done. And we also need to say what the Lord can still do. Oftentimes we live in a day where people says, "Can the Lord do this? Can the Lord do that?" Oh, the Lord can do mighty, mighty, mighty things. The only time that I have read in the Scripture where Jesus could not do much work, much mighty work, is in the city where there was no belief in Jesus Christ. But I think we're living today in times when people really don't believe Jesus can actually do what they think He can do. We kind of go through the motions. We kind of go through the things. And I've got all these notes. And I don't know if I'll get to them or not, but I will say this. We're still living in the day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. You said, "Preacher, why should we rejoice?" Because this is the day where the Lord can just grab a hold of your life, not turn it around, not fix it, but make it brand new. I've often heard people say, "Preacher, if I could just get back to where I was." There's no reason to go back to where you was. You need to get to where God wants you to be, and that's to be in the presence of His will. And I thought about the Memorial Day message. And I want to share some of this, and it's going to make kind of, I'm not going to go in no kind of systematic order. I've been wrestling with that. I even got with Brother James yesterday about what was on his heart. I don't want to take up too much time. But I believe we're living in the days and times when things have slipped so far away, I don't know if we can get them back. Now, I want to say this. Memorial Day is not, and I know it's turned into something. The weekend has turned into something that it never was meant to be. And all these things aren't bad. All these things ain't evil. But I think they have blurred. I think they have blended. And I think they have blinded the concept and why we do a Memorial Day. Memorial Day never was called Memorial Day for the longest time. It was called Decoration Day. And it was called Decoration Day because some say it started during the Civil War. I've heard some or read where some said that it started even before the Civil War. Some say it started in the North, but there's been news articles where it started in the South with some of the slaves and how they decorated the graves of those who had fallen in the fight. And I want to say these people were decorating the graves for folks who have fought and their lives were lost or taken in the battle of the Civil War or in the battle of the Revolutionary War, whatever battle they was in, those graves were decorated for purpose. May I say this today to people that are old, I'm glad and I'm proud. Some of you that has paid the price and fought the fight. But there's some, and I don't want to catchphrase any country singers, but there was a song he once said, and it turned into a phrase, or maybe he made it into a song, or the song was a song because of a phrase, where it says, "All gave some, but some gave all." And I want to say this today, the reason why that we're in the United States of America today, the red, white, and blue, the reason why we're still here is because some people gave the ultimate sacrifice. Some people paid it all. Some people gave it all. Mamas gave up their babies. Daddies gave up their sons. And they gave them up to fight in a war, to fight for a cause and fight for freedom. And I want to say this today, I'm saying these things because I think we ought not to let them slip. We ought not to forget what they are. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for a picnic. This is the start or the unofficial start of summer or the picnicking or the grilling out season. This is Indy 500 weekend. This is bike riding weekend. This is a three-day getaway weekend. This is the weekend where there might be some mattresses on sale or some cars that are for sale. May I say that those things are good and those things have their place, but can I say we still ought to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. I know back in the days, and some people may, back in the old days, a lot of folks used to do this quite oftenly, and I heard some still do it today. You know, some families and churches would get together at the family cemetery and the church cemetery, Brother Ben, and they'd have a church service at the cemetery. They'd have singing, they'd have preaching, and that's where we got the phrase, "dinner on the ground." Somebody say amen right there. What was they doing? They was remembering the old past. They was remembering those who had paid the price, those that had beat down the path and prepared the way that we could be where we are right now. And I want to say this, our young people need to listen and need to hear exactly why that we are. But can I say it's not just the young person's responsibility to listen, but I think it's the older generation's responsibility not to let them die down, not to let them get covered up with dust, but to still say, hey, this is the reason why we're healed here, and thank God somebody still paid that price. May I say, they left a memorial, they left imprints, they left impacts upon our lives. I was talking to some here recently, and the first time I heard it, it made an impact on me. And I begin to use it in funerals and everything. And I'll say this tomorrow or today, if you go to those gravesides to remember those, and I know it was for the military, and that's what it was for. It was for those who died in the service of military. I know some people go and they decorate loved ones' graves and things like that. I don't fall out for that, but can I say something? There's a memorial, there's something, an imprint that they've left in your life. Something that we ought to remember. The Bible says in the book of Joshua, they took 12 stones and set them outside of the river and in the midst of the river. They said, what meaneth thee, what are these stones before? He says, for when your children pass by and ask, what meaneth these stones? I think this sister Tina, every mom and dad ought to have a stack of stones, so to speak, in their life and in those babies' lives, that when they pass by those ways and say, Mama, Daddy, what meaneth these stones? I'm not saying just stones of accolades where you got the job and the paycheck comes in and those things are needed. I'm not saying the time when you got the house that you could raise the kids up in. I think those things are good. But friend, I think the most memorial stone, the most memorial thing you could have in your life is the place where you gave your life to Jesus Christ and He made a difference in your life. That's what caused the babies to raise up the right way and live the right way and point them in the right way. Why? Because Jesus was there. Most important thing that we ought to have is that memorial, and that for our Savior Jesus Christ. I've often thought about this and thought about these scriptures, and I thought about this verse I'm about to read, and I thought about all these things that I have, the Lord had showed me. And I wrestled with these scriptures. But I want to say this to start off before I get to this verse I'm going to read. I'm not going to ask nobody to stand. And I don't know if I'll be before you very long. I want to read three verses of scripture that should tremble our heart to listen. And you young people and us middle-aged people and us old people need to listen and listen real good. The Bible says in Psalm chapter number 9 and verse number 7, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Can I say this today? Many nations have had the gospel preached to them. Many leaders have heard the gospel preached. I know not too long ago, a lot of folks was known about how Billy Graham had preached the gospel to millions and millions and millions of people. But the Bible does not go according to Billy Graham. The Bible goes to what thus saith the Lord. And the scripture says every man or every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. I've had some people tell me, they say, preacher, it's called progress. Preacher, it's called moving in the right direction. Preacher, it's called moving out of the dark ages. Can I say something, friend? The Bible's not in the dark ages. The Bible was the light in the dark ages. And the Bible is still yet the light in these dark ages. Oh, Paul said, perilous times shall come when men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And friend, that's where we find ourselves at today. Oh, the Bible says they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Friend, we don't need no more God in our life. We need to give our life unto God, and the power will show up in our lives, and the power will make a difference in our lives, and the power will make a difference in our people's lives. But the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. I know it's not popular. I know it may cause people some trouble. But friend, look where our nation's headed to and what they're about to do and the things that they're going in. And I'm an equal opportunity person. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a child of the King. That's absolutely right. Hey, can I sit there? We all sit back and point our fingers towards Barack Obama and all the mistakes that he's made. But friend, you'd be crazy and a liar if you can't look back and see all the mistakes Donald Trump's made. And can I say this? The sun don't rise and the sun don't set on the President of the United States, but the sun rises and sets because the Lord said so. And the Bible says the Lord is our King. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And friend, whatever you do, you can forget who the 16th president was. You can forget who the first president was. You can forget who the 42nd, the 43rd, the 44th, and on so on, and so on, and so on. But friend, the time you forget God, you'll be turned into hell. Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 9, it says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Can I say this, friend? It is our duty to keep our own soul. It is our duty to keep our own heart, as in not being saved, but to protect it and guard it from the things of this world. And can I say this? Don't you point the finger at the preacher? Don't you point your finger at the denomination? Can I say salvation's not in denomination? Salvation's not in the organization, and salvation's not in the man preaching about salvation. Salvation's in the person who brings salvation, and his name's Jesus Christ. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care where you come from. I don't care who your mommy and daddy is, but I think they're good. I'd like to meet them, if that's the point that you want to bring. But friend, it don't amount to a hill of beans if you don't have the one who made it all living and taking up an abide in your heart. Can I say this to the young people? You could graduate high school, graduate with honors. You can graduate valedictorian. I sat there in the Nutter Center and watched my son graduate, and this one girl stood up, and she had a full-ride scholarship to Wright State. I said, that's something to be proud in. I thought, man, that's good. That's real good. She got another scholarship and another scholarship. I'm sitting there thinking, going, how many scholarships does a kid need? I hated school. I hated it with a passion, Brother Ben. But I look back now. If I didn't hate it, Jason, maybe I'd be better off than I am right now. But can I say something, Brother Jeff? I'm not knocking that girl. Those are great accomplishments, something that a mom and dad ought to be proud in. Mom and dad, be proud of your kids. If your kids is still with you and they're trying, though they're full of mistakes, be proud of them, love them, and tell them about it every once in a while. It might do some good. Somebody say amen right there. But can I say something? The best accolade for my kids to have, though I'd love to see them succeed in the real world, I would love to see them make good financially and settled, Brother Eddie. But if they don't, the one thing I got to make sure, I hope and pray they have, is the salvation of God in their heart. You say, why, preacher? Because when this world's all said and done, and everything turns to dust and everything begins to rust away, there's only one thing that lasts forever. There's only one thing that'll bring you to the other side, and that's salvation in Jesus Christ. He said, keep thy soul diligently. Guard yourself. I have never seen the day where they're trying to twist music and say it's godly music without mentioning the blood and the cross and salvation in it. We got radio stations that says they're Christian radio stations, but they play a lot of stuff that ain't Christian radio. We got people on there that says they're preachers, but they're not preachers. They're just a motivational speaker, slick as the day is long, and disguised as an angel of light. Somebody say amen right there. You say, preacher, what do? We stick to the stuff. We stick to the things that makes it possible. Stick with the one who saves your dying soul and saved it eternally. He says to keep thy, he said, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent, Deuteronomy 4:9. He said, lest thou forget the things which thy eye has seen, unless they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach thy sons and thy sons' sons. He's speaking generically, talking about teach it to your family. Teach it to your grandkids. Teach it to your extended family. Teach it to the neighbor's kids. Can I say, some people say, preacher, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. That's absolutely right. We walk by faith and not by sight. But friends, you've got to be crazy as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs not to realize there's some things that God's done in my life that I can see with my natural eye. They didn't come by me seeing it. They came by faith believing. But I can look and see the evidence of things that God has done in my life. Preacher, are you going to live forever? No, something's going to take me out. My heart broke for Brother Junior and Brother Larry about their friend. Can I say something? Something's going to get us all. If the Lord don't come back and take us all home, those that's been redeemed, we're all going to have to go to the graveyard. Somebody may pass by our grave for a memorial. And friend, what the difference maker is what kind of memory have we left in their hearts about Jesus? I've seen many of people say, well, my mom and daddy went to church, and that's their testimony. My mom and daddy took me to church, and that's their testimony. Can I say something, mom and daddy? Be a pillar in your own home. Be the one who makes a difference in your home. Stand up for what's right and don't care, and don't bend and don't break when it comes to things that ain't right. Don't be afraid. Don't be relinquished. I know it may not be popular. I know your kids may say, I hate you, and run to their bedroom. May say I'm tired of this and slam the door. They may throw things and get mad. But friend, if God allows them to live about 20 years, they'll look back and say, Mom and Dad, I understand why now you did all those things you did. I understand why now you kept things away from me. And I'm glad I'm still alive today. But can I say something? If you have messed up, have slipped up, have screwed things up, Tina, there's something better than Mom and Daddy's love. There's a mighty God of forgiveness. He'll forgive us of all of our sins. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. God still forgives you. God still loves you. And people says he doesn't do that. They're lying through their teeth, and they need forgiveness too. I'll say this. God still loves you. And if you've been born again and saved, keep your soul, keep your heart, and teach it to your children. Thirdly, Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 21. Jeremiah said this. a voice was heard upon the high places. They were weeping in supplications of the children of Israel on the high places. That means the places that were set apart, the places that were supposed to be deemed there to be important, there was weeping there and supplications being made, Brother James. And what was he being made for? It says, for they have perverted their way and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Preacher, why come that preacher gets so hot? Why is he so loud? Why does he sound so mean? Why is he all the time pointing his finger? Why is he trying to like getting up in my grill and things like that? Why is that preacher doing that for? Because, friend, God's telling me to blow the trumpet like he has these other preachers to say there's some kind of woe heading your way and avoid it with all your might. Why? It'll take you down. It'll keep you longer. It'll cost you more than you realize and take away your very future. And you'll never be able to live the life the way God wants you to live. Can I say this? I've talked to many people since I've been pastoring, talked to many people since I've been preaching, talked to many people I've been saved who said, preacher, I'm saved. I know what I'm doing. I don't need nobody younger than me to tell me how things ought to go. And can I say this? Age should have nothing to do with it, though I do believe young people ought to honor their elders. Let me say that again. Young people ought to honor their elders, respect their elders. Huh? I know I can get no amen to them young people, sister, stuff, but they're still supposed to respect their elders. Holding the door open ain't dishonoring. I know some people say, I can hold the door for myself. Well, I'm still going to hold the door for you anyway. I'm not holding it open for you because I'm supposed to be holding it up because that's the way I was raised. Somebody say amen right there. Be respectful even when a person doesn't even deserve your respect. I don't know where I got off on that, Brother James, but still good. Can I say this? It's a shame that we've got weeping. It's a shame we've got crying in the high places. I know of pastors who's crying. I know of deacons who's crying. Their wives are crying. Why? Because the church has perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. There's preachers and pastors who have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Deacons have done it. Sunday school teachers have done it. Can I say this? We're living in a day and time. Oh, come on, preacher. Do we really have to be that strict? Well, what's the alternative? Huh? Can I chase this rabbit? This rabbit's killing me right now. That lady down in Moorhead, Kentucky, everybody wanted to bash her family, dig up her past, and parade it on the news because she wouldn't sign those marriage certificates for the people who wanted to get married, the homosexuals that wanted to get married. They all forgot that she said, I don't want to sign them because if the governor would give me a stamp with his signature, I'll pass them all day long. She said, but that's not what I was voted in for. I voted in, and I got some morals I can keep. I'm not supposed to keep these other laws. I'm supposed to keep the laws I was voted on. Y'all hear me, the preacher? I'm not taking right side or left side. I'm taking God's side. Y'all hear the preacher? Do you know what they did? It was not about licenses. It was not about that. It wasn't about that woman. It was what that woman stood for. You know, it wasn't about what that woman or that person was because they drug up her past and flaunted it in front of everybody and said, well, you live this sorry, nasty life. You have the right to say this or say that. Can I say we're all sorry and nasty, Brother Ben, if it wasn't for the grace of God? And some of us would be sorry and nasty now if it wasn't for the grace of God. But can I say this? That thing's been done, gone, past, gone, left, gone. Don't have to worry about it. But what did the news bring up? The news brought up and said there was a homosexual running against her for her position down in the state of Kentucky. That's not news for me. I need to understand in here. I'm not voting for her anyway. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to push God more and more and more out of the public square, out of the church square, and out of your home four square. You know why? Because they can pass anything they want. But the one thing they can't rid of, they can't get rid of this blessed black book, the King James Bible. They can't get rid of the people who has the Lord in their heart. The only way the Lord gets pushed out is if the people forget him. I got them so-called Christian people, Brother Ronnie, had come to me. They said, preacher, don't you think it's bad that the Ten Commandments have been taken out of the school and the courthouse? I said, well, yeah, I think it's bad. What set do you have hanging up in your house? They choke on their coffee or they choke on their spit or something like that because they ain't got a set hanging up in their house. Y'all hearing the preacher? Still right? Can I say the one thing we ought not to forget, most important thing we ought not to forget, we can't forget God because he's the one who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Right now, last week I talked to my mom and Vicky. She's got a new hip replacement, a new knee replacement, and her back's bad. And she's trying to get the cemetery ready so people can come and decorate graves. One thing she always said, she goes, don't forget where you come from. Don't forget your raising. Right. Now, can I say this? Your raising may not have been right. But can I say this? Start someplace new and start a memorial that's right. I've heard people say, "Preacher, how come you don't raise the kids the way that you was raised?" Because raising your kids according to the scriptures is better than any other way you can raise them. Right? And can I say this? The one thing we ought not to forget is to forget this scripture. You said, "Preacher, this is the strangest all day message I've ever heard. I'm almost done. I got all these things. I'm going to read one. I'm going to read this one scripture about one person. And I want you to listen and listen close." The Bible says this. "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper," the Bible says, "there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.'" Can I stop right there and say, we all have an idea how we're supposed to worship the Lord. We all have an idea on how our service is supposed to be for the Lord. We all think we know what the best way is. And even I'm guilty of that. I'll say, oh me. The Bible says this in verse number 10, "But when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial for her.'" You said, "Preacher, how did you get that from all that you told?" This woman gave up everything. She gave up the most prized thing that she had to get to Jesus. You know what we have a lot of? We have a lot of people that says, "Well, I want Jesus to come to me," and I understand that. But you know what? You're going to have to get alone. You have to get away from the things that's in your life. You're going to have to separate yourself. Can I say the friends, and I got asked this by one of my boys. We come back from that graduation party for Brittany. And one of my boys said, "Daddy, did you have friends, like a real tight knit of friends?" I said, "Honey, Carlisle was so small, you couldn't help. Y'all was in the same tight knit of friends. I mean, we had a graduating class of 90, and I can't remember how many. We was all just tight knit. We was just close." I said, "And there was a little clique of us together that did everything. But can I say something? Those buddies, if I followed them, I probably wouldn't be here today. And I love them with all my heart. I'm still in contact with most of them. One of them moved next door to my mom. And he keeps an eye on my mom because she lives her by herself. But can I say this? If I live my life according to my friends, many times they left me in predicaments and situations, Megan, that I'm ashamed of. Everybody says, "Oh, preacher, I got friends. They wouldn't do that to me." Friend, I'm telling you, they'll do it. Why do they do it? Because they got the same problem you got. We got flesh problems. We got sin problems. If that woman probably listened to her family, listened to her friends, "Oh, don't trouble him." If she was from the Jewish background, they'd say, "Don't go near him. He's not a true Jew. He's turning everything upside down." Other people would say, "Don't go there. He's at Simon the leper's house. You can't go in there. They know everything." Or Simon the Pharisee's house. "Don't you go there. Don't you go to that person's house. Don't you make a scene. Don't you make a ruckus." But this woman needed to get to Jesus. See, it doesn't give her name, so therefore it doesn't matter who you are. You can put your name right there. Doesn't say what her problem was, though we have ideas. Some say it was Mary, possessed with the demons. Other folks say it wasn't Mary. Some folks say it was a different Mary than Mary Magdalene. We can all go through the theological thing all you want. But in this scripture, you'll find in Luke, you'll find in Mark and find in Matthew, doesn't give her name. Doesn't give what her problem was. And I don't know what your problem is. I don't know why you need to get to Jesus. And I don't know who you are. But God ain't going to send this message for you not to come get to Jesus. See, the Bible says, can a woman, in Isaiah 49:16, can a woman forget her suckling child? They said, yea, she may forget. But the Lord said, I'll never forget you. I've engraven you in the palms of my hand. He remembers. He knows who you are. He loves you with all his heart. The problem is we get this twisted way of thinking who God is, and Brother James, we go off and we forget who he truly is. We go and do things on our own and get our own mindset of the Lord, and we don't keep our heart, as the proverb says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Moses said, keep your soul, for when you stop keeping your soul diligently, the Bible says you'll forget the things that you saw and the mighty works that God has done. Oftentimes I hear people say this. They said, I don't know how I got to where I got to. I can tell you how you got to where you got to. It's called sin. And all these things and all these picnicking and all these graduations, I think all these things are good. But can I say all these things that's been given to us to enjoy have come by the Lord. How can we forget Him? These soldier men and women, some of them weren't even battling. Some of them was helping Band-Aid some folks. I mean, I couldn't imagine some of the people back in the days when there was no anesthesia. There was no disinfectant of the instruments. What was it they said? They'd get shot back in those days. They'd take a hot poker and stick it on it and burn it and seal it. Lord of mercy. Some of us get close to a stove. We get like third-degree burns. We'll melt. Them people was tough people back in those days. Women would go do some things and take care of some things and doctor some wounds and do things. Some fighting-type women, some brawling-type women do some things. And you know, all those things should be remembered. Can I say this? For the military people that served and paid the price and gave their life, I say we still remember them here at Mount Zion Baptist Church. Red, white, and blue still stands tall and still waves proud. I may not like how the government does things, but I still thank God for what they paid for and what they gave us. Passed it down to us. May we not forget. But can I say this? There was a soldier one time that paid the ultimate price and fought the ultimate battle. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Why are we more conquerors through Christ Jesus? Because He fought the fight. He fought the battle. And He took the wounds. He took the blasphemy. He took the mockery. He took the shame. He opened out His mouth. I mean, Jesus could have opened up His mouth. Jesus could have batted His eye and wiped out everybody. But He kept His mouth shut. He took the beating. A man of sorrows acquainted with grief. Why? So we could get the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said I was going to be done that last scripture. I'm going to give this last scripture. I don't know how it's going to go, but the Lord just gave it to me to give to you. We should remember the Lord. Remember who He truly is. He's more than the baby that came in the manger, though He did. He is more than one coming to crown king. The Bible says He was born king. And can I say this? It's the Father's good will and good pleasure to give you that kingdom. Jesus came and paid the ultimate sacrifice, and He's more than just the sacrificial lamb upon the cross of Calvary. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the one true potentate. He's the great I am. He's the one and only. He's our daysman. He's the one that can turn your life not around, but turn it into a brand new. Make it brand new. What we need to do is not forget the Lord, because you can say this unto the Lord, and I guarantee you, I want to go to all these scriptures, and I can't, Brother Eddie. Oh, I got so much. But one of my favorite scriptures is in the Gospel of Luke. When that thief turned and looked over and said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, will thou remember me? He didn't say, yeah, I remember you. He said, here in about 60 years from now. He didn't say, when I get you up out of the grave. He said, today, 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 thou shalt be with me in paradise. You don't have to wait for an installment plan. You don't have to wait for a retirement plan. You don't have to wait for any plan. I'm telling you, you can get God's man and have it today. But you got to want to. You young people that's graduated high school, I've been there. Wasn't saved. Went to the parties. Went to everything. Pickup truck. Hank Jr. AC/DC. Even had some of them guys listen to... What's that? I can't think of it. Eazy-E. listen to NWA, listen to all that stuff. You know, and I ain't going to lie, Brother James, all those things bring pleasure, but it lasted only a little bit. And Sister Vicky, I get flashbacks because somebody post up school book pictures, and I showed a school book picture. Somebody posted a school book picture of us when we was in the third grade. And y'all, and I normally hear older people say this, but Sister Vicky, I start counting the people who's no longer with me no more. They died of alcohol, they died of drugs, died of car wrecks, died of sin. What is it, preacher? We should remember, hey, you're young, you're vibrant, you're strong. You think you got everything planned out? Can I say something? You need Jesus just as much as the old person who's on their deathbed. Somebody says, them sinners that's on their deathbed ought not to cry out for God because they ain't cried out for Him all their life. You know what? That's all the more important reason to cry out for Him on their deathbed. Because if they die on that deathbed, hell's their next step. Can I say this? There's something better than just being saved and going to heaven. There's a life that you have with Jesus Christ. They'll just, I got all kinds of M's. I got momentous, meaningful, miraculous. All got kinds of M adjectives. I mean, I stuttered her out good. But God's saying, you don't need all that. What you need is Him. Don't, have you forgot Him today? Have you forgot the real reason why, who He is? Is there a memorial in your life of what He's done in your life? Is there many memorials? Are there memorials being left in people's lives? This is what I told this, Brother Eddie, and I know Sister Jackie won't mind. I talked to Sister Jackie Thursday night before they went down for Brother Don Combs' visitation and funeral. I said, Jackie, will you do me a favor? And she said, yeah. I said, will you put your handprint on Don's casket for me? I said, because he left his prints on me. When you go to them cemeteries and stuff tomorrow, maybe decorate graves or do them today in between church and all things, put your hand on that headstone. They left imprints on us. Can I say this? The one thing that we ought to be doing is leaving imprints, leaving some positive, godly imprints on this life of this generation come up behind us. Because I'm telling you what, by the way things look in the world, there ain't much generation left. And I've seen in the scriptures, in the matter of one generation, God was forgotten and destruction came. Don't you dare think the United States of America is not exempt from that. It is not exempt.